Mingalaba. Blessings to all of you, dear yogis, meditators. We start the session as usual, when Sayadaw is not here, with the sharing. So anybody who would like to share something with all of us, please feel free to do so.
Hi, I've got a fun thing to share. I was knitting yesterday, and you can do metta, karuna, mudita, upeka. Every time you knit, every stitch works wonderfully.
Thank you, Judith.
I just want to share that it is such a beautiful day where Riyet and I are, and that it was inviting for Riyet to go out for a walk and run. And I went into the garden to free the hummingbulbs, the crocuses, the snowdrops, the cyclamen from leaves and debris, and to sit on my knees in front of them and to enjoy their beauty and their promising of life and the sharing of their life with me. Thank you.
Thank you, Eric.
I also wanted to share something beautiful. I made a gift for my parents, and I was sewing something on the clothes that I bought for them, like sweet dreams. And as I was doing that, I was kind of feeling so much metta for, like, you know, it was well wishing, may you have a sweet dream. And then my mom wrote to me after I left, and she had a pajama on, and she was like, oh my God, this is amazing. I really slept so well. And I had to smile because, yeah, I was radiating metta while I was sewing. And I think they kind of felt it through that. So I found it kind of amazing because I didn't expect she never does anything like that. She never has a reaction like that. So I was like, I just wanted to share that as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle. I am sure there is lots to share. And even if you think it's nothing or nothing important, you know, don't feel shy.
Yes, before yesterday, when I went in my room to sit down for formal meditation, I realized or came up, oh, I am happy. That was really a good moment. Thank you.
Thank you, Doris.
Hey. I can share that yesterday evening and this morning I had a really big kind of attack of doubt. And then I thought of the word anyway, which I love. And so I thought the best thing to do is just sit more. So I made all my breaks, my morning and lunch break, really short today. And the metta just flew, and it was so nice to sit and practice instead of going into the doubt. And I'm really grateful for this word and all your instructions and the recorded talk today, which was about forgiveness and self-forgiveness, was also very supportive. So thank you.
Thank you, Shlomit. Yes, Helen, please.
I would like to share an intention I want to set. Maybe because I share it, it has more, oomph. My intention is to have a lot more time every week that I have my phone on airplane mode. Because... I'm addicted to that thing. I don't want it, but I am. So when it's on airplane mode, I'm always laughing at myself, now it's nothing. So I have the intention to do that way more often.
Thank you, Helen, for this sharing.
I just wanted to let you know that I'm glad to be back after the passing of granddad the day before yesterday. It has been a period of a lot of sadness, but at the same time, it has been, for me personally, such a touching moment because there's been so much love there as well. So just the realization that death is not only death, it's so much more about love as well, and that really, really touched me a lot deeper than I expected. Yeah.
Thank you, Camilla, for your sharing. And thank you for the sharing of the silence, which is also a beautiful thing to share. You know, sometimes being together with people, it's just always talking, 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 more talking, more talking. And if one person stops, the next comes in and says something. So sometimes it's really relaxing and so nice if one can have quiet moments in between. But now more talking will go on. I will hand over to Aya Viranyani.
Thank you, Aria. It makes me laugh, actually, what you just shared.
You
are. Yeah, I don't want to blank you out. So I want to share some reflections that come from a couple of questions people have asked, both here and in the small groups, about mindfulness. And to share a little bit about the relationship between metta and the cultivation of metta and sati, mindfulness. Because they don't exist independently of each other. You In the Metta Sutta that Saito has been talking about, there's a beautiful line before, as you know, because we've been chanting it, before the Buddha talks about the four postures. Etam satim aditteya. One should maintain this mindfulness. Satim in that sentence in the Pali meaning mindfulness. In the Amaravati translation, what is given is recollection, which is actually correct because the root meaning of being mindful of sati is to remember. So recollection works. But it also masks the fact that that word that the Buddha spoke was mindfulness. One should maintain this mindfulness. Sitting, standing, walking, lying down. And one thing, particularly for those of us who have a strong vipassana habit, when we start doing metta bhavana, when we start cultivating metta and doing this more concentration practice, the thought can arise, it's like, but what, I really want to develop vipassana and mindfulness. And, you know, we miss that. But it's impossible to cultivate metta without cultivating mindfulness in the background, because we use it all the time. It's essential, actually, to this practice in so many ways. We use the word connection. Connect with the heart, connect with yourself or with this other person, this other being, or all beings. Connect with the meaning of the phrase that you repeat to yourself. That word connection is a shorthand for sati. But not sati in the vipassana sense, but more simply being aware. Know what you're saying to yourself. Know who you're radiating metta for. Have a basic sense of awareness of the heart space and this body, this being here. So we connect with the heart, we connect with the phrase, we connect with this other person. And we maintain that recollection, we maintain that connection over and over and over again. So in the beginning also, when we radiate metta for ourselves, we connect, we are aware of, we become more and more aware of, through the practice, our basic wish to be happy, to be healthy, to be safe, to be at ease with life. And the more we are aware of that basic, these basic wishes, the easier it is to drop into that space of care. Well, yeah, I want to be happy. May I be happy? And then we move on to other beings. And it is required that we connect with them as we do with ourselves. So we become aware of others and their wish to be happy, their wish to be healthy, their wish to be at ease. Bringing them to mind, recollecting them as we would ourselves, to all as to myself. And in both cases, that recollection is basic knowing. It's basic awareness. And as we practice in this way, whether internally for ourselves or externally for others, whether intensively in sitting or walking, or during our daily life practice, in all these cases, any way we practice, it absolutely requires this connection. And it requires recollection, coming back again and again and again. That's how we cultivate both the inclination and the habit of turning to metta, but also the concentration. So one of the gifts of this practice that develops in the background is in this whole process of recollecting and coming back over and over and over again. It requires that we develop both the capacity and the skill of being aware of what the mind is doing, where the mind is going, what we encourage, the mind states we feed habitually, what we leave behind, the mind states we discourage, where we care, where we don't care. We see all these things in the practice. We are aware of them. And the more aware we are of the mind, the deeper the practice goes. And there's something quite wonderful about this whole unfolding, because it's a reality check. This awareness that we develop and we polish shows us over and over and over again where the metta has not yet been developed. Ariya and I were sharing over evening tea about the places in the mind. I was reflecting about having read the headlines and coming to terms with, in my own heart and mind, these places in the world where I don't care. Or actually, that's not quite accurate. They don't touch me. Where there is no metta, where there is no connection. So being aware of where the mind habitually goes is a vehicle for deepening the practice. And through the whole process, basically we need really to be able to discern where metta is absent and where metta is present. And when it's absent, to have that ability to come back often depends on that awareness and the quickness of that awareness. And we need to discern our basic individual habits, both in general as applies to the basic unfolding of the practice. So we see with the dear friend where we might have the habit of clinging. We see with the neutral category where we might have the habit of just blanking, you know, not caring. We see with the difficult person what dosa habits we have. So both in that general sense, as we go through the categories, we exercise this mindfulness by knowing where we habitually go. But also we begin to be particularly aware, and this is essential, of our, what I call, our Achilles heels. These places emotionally and psychologically, where we're most likely to get caught, to become overwhelmed, and to really lose the thread of the metta by, you know, completely diving into whatever unwholesome mind state is habitual in that situation. And mindfulness here is particularly essential, because these habits we all have, this conditioning we all have, that causes us to lose the thread of the practice, often run without any awareness. And that's when they drive the train, so to speak. That's when they totally take us for a ride. But polishing this ability to be aware when these arise, to acknowledge that they're there, polishing the ability to do that quickly is what keeps us on track. So we acknowledge, oh, fear has arisen. Anxiety has arisen. Anger has arisen. Clinging has arisen. Doubt has arisen. We can just acknowledge that. And that's often enough. It's like, oh, okay, may I be happy anyway? May I be at ease anyway? And we can immediately return to cultivating metta. And here, mindfulness acts like a guardrail in a dangerous place. So, you know, on a twisty, windy mountain road, there's a guardrail so that you don't, if you are, you know, not careful and begin to go off the road, you're not going to go over the edge. And so in this case, mindfulness is our inner guardrail that keeps us from getting overwhelmed or completely lost. And the quality that we're cultivating here in a dangerous place internally is what in Pali is called appamada. It's that quality of awareness that knows danger is close and is particularly careful. I was walking over here to the hall just now in the dark. I put my torch in my bag, and I was really aware as I was going down my steps in the dark of being very careful, because who wants to fall down the stairs? I was holding on to the hand railing and thinking, oh yeah, that's just like mindfulness in the metta practice. We have a handrail we can hold on to, and so we can go down the stairs in the dark. We have an inner handrail and an inner guardrail that keeps us safe when we're in dangerous places, in dark places. It also keeps us going in the right direction. Because with the way the practice cycles again and again and again in and out of these dark places, we can doubt ourselves, we can doubt the practice. But all we need to do is be mindful in each moment of where the mind is going, what it's doing, what we're feeding, what we're starving. And that keeps us going in the right direction, even if we wander around a little bit. And I've used this example, many of you know it, but I love it because it just illustrates how much we can wander and still get to where we want to go. When the Apollo astronauts were going to the moon, they started here on Earth, they went up in their rocket, and they ended up orbiting the moon. Between here and that, between, you know, leaving Earth and orbiting the moon, they were off track 98% of the time. But just a little bit. And, you know, recalibrate. Oh, a little bit too much this way, recalibrate, back and forth. So we wander in the practice in this way. And sati is what keeps us going in the right direction. And as Ariya said in answering somebody's question yesterday, the subtlety of this course correction can be quite, well, this course correction can be quite subtle. Ariya was mentioning if concentration gets very strong, we have to be mindful of that. Etam satim aditya, we have to maintain this mindfulness. Know to go back to metta. Know to keep inclining to metta, even when the mind is very quiet. And we tend to lose the metta. So whether it's something coarse, like the arising of unwholesome states, or something quite subtle, this mindfulness keeps us going in the right direction. And if we are mindful, we can make those adjustments. If we're not, well, we all know where that goes. Every one of us, us too. And basically, any state that is not metta is something we can pay attention to, whether it's simple wandering mind or one of those really difficult habitual states that we tend to get caught in. The guardrails of mindfulness allow us to develop a continuity of metta, keep us on course, where we don't get lost, even if these states arise, where we don't get overwhelmed if it's something quite deep. And being aware of where the mind goes automatically informs us. It's like, oh, these states are unwholesome, these states are wholesome. We're aware of that too. And if the mind is going in an unwholesome direction, we can be careful with that heedfulness, that appamada, that very precisely careful mindfulness. If it's something wholesome that's arisen, this is something also to pay attention to. I haven't talked much about that, but your sharings today, a lot of wholesome mind states have come up. Gladness, flowing metta. We're also aware there. It's like, oh, where are we going around this mind state? Is it just arising or are we clinging to it? So we pay attention to keep the practice on course. One thing to mention in this regard, about particularly about the more troublesome habitual places where the mind goes, is mindfulness is particularly essential in those places where we tend to get overwhelmed or lost completely. So if there is some very deep conditioning that causes us to get lost in fear or grief, or self-doubt, any of those states, it's essential that we pay careful attention to the mind. Watch the mind. Watch where it's going. The more mindful we are, the less likely it is we'll get lost there. And the flip side of this is also knowing and respecting our limits. So if we've been with something and it's really difficult, we know when to back off and not push ourselves. So in both cases, mindfulness is absolutely essential. And if you find yourself habitually overwhelmed or lost around some familiar mind state, polish the mindfulness as well as the metta. Really bring that awareness, bring some energy into being more aware of the mind, of where it's going, what it's doing. And for all of us, cultivating metta is really an excellent means to polish this ability to be aware of the mind. So that when we do vipassana, we're much more likely to bring this skill into that arena. And it does something quite profound to the vipassana practice as well. So gradually, in this metta practice, as we do this more and more, we can catch ourselves and make some space. And there have been a couple of really beautiful sharings where people have said, either in the small group or here, wow, I had a really difficult relationship at work, but I caught myself and I decided to go to metta instead. Sharings like this, experiences like this, are what happens when we really bring this awareness into our metta practice. So it's essential, and it develops mindfulness, sati, in a way that we can directly bring into our vipassana practice. So be present kindly with discernment about the mind and about the heart. It's such a beautiful thing. So let's go to the practice now. And today in the practice, we will cultivate loving kindness for the same category that we were doing yesterday. This neither loved nor hated person. And you can choose a second kind of stranger, whether it be somebody here on the retreat or somebody you know in your life or don't know in your life, but somebody who is in your life. Somebody yesterday in the sharing said they'd chosen their mail person, and they don't even know who the person that delivers their mail. They don't know if they're female or male, man or woman, or somewhere in between. It didn't matter. Whoever brings the post to us, may they be happy. So it can be somebody we don't know at all, but who affects us, but who we're not really connected to, or somebody here. And again, first person that comes to mind is usually the best person. So please find a comfortable posture. Whether it be upright or lying down if you need to for your body. Finding that physical and inner relaxation. And for a couple of minutes, beginning to cultivate metta, where for you it is easiest. And I'll ring the bell after 5 minutes and invite you to go on to this second, either loved nor hated person. Simply connecting with the heart and the heart space and whomever you're radiating loving kindness for. And for that simple well-wishing, just knowing what you're wishing. in the silence, repeating your well-wishing for these people or this person. Now moving on to this neither loved nor hated person in your own time. Continuing to connect with the heart space and with the understanding that this person, just as I want to be happy, so do they. Connecting with our well-wishing for them. The simple meaning of the phrase that we're using. And returning to that, recollecting that, remembering to come back again and again and again. So, of course, the practice continues. Sitting, standing, walking, lying down. One should maintain this mindfulness. Coming back again and again in the formal sitting and the formal walking in the next 24 hours for this neither loved nor hated person. And the joy of this particular category is that in general activities, we encounter these beings all the time. We're surrounded by strangers, many of us, especially if you live in a city. So if this is you and you have a commute to where you work, or you live in a building with many other people also living in the same building, or you share a street with many other people, or maybe you don't live in a city, maybe you live in the countryside, but you're surrounded by living beings, known and unknown, all the birds, the mammals, the insects, perhaps a field of cows. We don't know any of these beings, certainly not personally, and especially non-human beings. We don't have any sense of their experience. But to all as to myself, understanding that each being, no matter who they are, what form, whether they're known or unknown, just like me, they want to be happy. They want to be safe and protected. And so, bringing that to mind again and again, recollecting that, being aware of that, really helps the metta flow. So in your general activities, open to all the strangers in your life, human and non-human, and be creative with it, playful with it. Don't make it a chore, but simply begin to notice these beings. So, I have one little short story to share of my own experience of this here at the monastery. I got a new camera some months ago when I was in the United States. And it's got a wonderful zoom lens, and I love birds, so I've been taking pictures of birds. And the more I see, the more I notice, the more I see, there are birds all over the place here that I had no idea existed. And they're so beautiful. Some of them, and some of them are just that much. They're little brown, cute beings. But I've begun to notice when I'm out walking and I see a bird. I begin to notice them more and more. It's like they want to be safe. They fly away from me because they want safety. And we're people, and people injure birds, so they run away. May they be safe and protected. You know, the more we connect with other beings, the easier it gets. So notice other beings and remember again and again. So thank you for your practice. It's time to turn the microphone over to Aria to answer whatever questions you may have and to share the chanting with us.
Thank you. So yes, I'm curious to hear your questions.
I have a question.
Yes, please, Jerome.
If I'm able to formulate it. At this moment, the body is contracted and it draws the attention, and I notice, and it seems like in doing the metta on the neutral person, at the same time there is a kind of vipassana process in the background. What I notice is that when the vipassana wish comes up in the mind, the body, especially this part, but it doesn't matter, contracts, like the mental activity contracts. So in purposely putting the metta wish, the body contracts, and I see the, I don't know what it is, I can't see deep enough for that, or there's not much differentiation for that. And then I go back to the object, to the neutral person, and the body contracts, and then the attention goes back to the contraction, and also a metta wish comes by that, and trying not to be in aversion. So maybe you both have said a lot about that, but can you tell something about it, how to handle this?
Yes, I try to say something. As you very clearly describe, so doing the metta, being engaged in cultivating the metta, but then noticing some physical sensations, the contraction. And, having also done vipassana meditation, or maybe having done more vipassana meditation, then there is the habit of the mind to go where something distinct is arising, like this contraction, to observe and to be with it and to understand what it is. So here it's this vipassana habit that comes in, and maybe also the curiosity of the mind, what is it? which of course in the frame of vipassana meditation is very good. The interest, curiosity of what is happening right now in my body. But as we have pointed out several times in metta meditation, it's about the cultivation of kindness. So, like the first way to approach this is, as we also have done, gently bring the mind back to the cultivation of metta. Of course, when the contraction happens, the mind notices it. So we can acknowledge it. But then saying, yeah, okay, I've noticed this, but going back to the cultivation of metta. And if after a little while there is another contraction, notice it. But, this can be a good exercise in resisting a habit of the mind, wanting to go and observe this contraction. It's not that we push it aside or that we reject this experience, but it's clearly understanding that right now with the cultivation of metta, we try to train another habit, a wholesome habit. Having said this, if the physical sensations, this contraction, again and again comes up and really comes into the foreground, then it might be the time to make the conscious decision and say, okay, now I stop the metta meditation for a while and switch to the vipassana, to pay attention to this physical sensation. And then after some time, again, make a conscious decision and say, now I go back to the metta meditation. So, you know, this could be a way to deal with this experience.
Thank you.
Somebody else?
Yeah, I have a question. Is it normal that the metta feels significantly less while lying and walking compared to sitting, because I'm more used to sitting? Is that a normal experience, or am I doing something wrong?
Yes, thank you for this question, Juwon. It's a common experience, what you describe. As you say, you are more used to practice sitting meditation, and because you are more used to it, you are practicing more, you have more experience with that. You know, you, the body and mind, have become more familiar with that posture, the sitting. Another aspect is that, you know, in the sitting meditation, the body is kind of still, not moving much, and usually the eyes are closed. So especially having the eyes closed, you know, you're getting less stimuli, less sense impressions in. And this also helps, you know, to focus the mind better, not to be distracted so much, and so with that being more connected with the metta feeling or attitude. Lying, again, you know, if you are not used to do lying meditation, then because it's a posture that you're not so familiar with, so, you know, this needs also time to get to become more familiar with. And another aspect of the lying meditation is the fact that usually we lie down to rest and then to fall asleep. So to stay really present and alert in the lying posture can be a bit of a challenge for many people. But I know many meditators who, due to physical limitations, have to practice in the lying posture. And they, you know, have become very familiar with this, and then they are also able to really stay alert and not go into this kind of, you know, sleepy, fuzzy state. So, you know, when it's normal or it's common that this happens. If right now there is no more question, then we can go to the chants. And I would like to start on page 1 at the bottom. It's the 4 aspirations. And today I want to do it with some variations. You know, the first line is Sabbe Sattā Avirāhantu, and then Sabbe Sattā, and so on. And so this expression, Sabbe Sattā, can be replaced with other expressions that you find in the chant above. You know, there we have Sabbe Sata, Sabbe Panna, Sabbe Buddha, and so on, down to Sabbe Vinipatika. So basically, all of these 12 expressions can be put into the place where Sabbe Sata is in this chant below. So we take the first four expressions from the chant above. So the first time we go as it is written here, Sabbe Sata Avirahantu, and so on. Then the second time we go Sabbe Panna Avirahantu, Sabbe Panna Abhyapachahantu, and so on. Then Sabbe Buddha, and the fourth time Sabbe Pugala. So then let's start. Sabbe Sata Avirahantu, Sabbe Sata Abhyapachahantu, Sabbe Sata Anigahantu, Sabbe Sata Sukhiyatanam Parihārantu, Sabbe Panna Avirahantu, Sabbe Panna Abhyapachahantu, Sabbe Panna Anigahantu, Sabbe Panna Sukhiyatanam Parihārantu, Sabbe Buddha Avirahantu, Sabbe Buddha Abhyapachahantu, Sabbe Buddha Anigahantu, Sabbe Buddha Sukhiyatanam Parihārantu, Sabbe Pugala Avirahantu, Sabbe Pugala Abhyapachahantu, Sabbe Pugala Anigahantu, Sabbe Pugala Sukhiyatanam Parihārantu. And now we are going to page 3, the four boundless states, and we will do the Pali version. So it's an energizing chant. And we'll do it a bit faster than last time. Then let's start. Metta sahagatena cetasa ekam disang paritva viharati tata tutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabha tataya sabha vantang lukang metta sahagatena cetasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapachena paritva viharati karuna sahagatena cetasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata tutiyang tatha tatiyang tatha chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabat tataya sabat vantang lokang karuna sahagatena cittasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena alverena adhyapacena paritva viharati mudita sahagatena cittasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata tutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabat tataya sabat vantang lokang mudita sahagatena cittasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati upekha sahagatena cittasa ekang disang paritva viharati tata tutiyang tata tatiyang tata chatutang iti udamada tiriyang sabati sabat tataya sabat vantang lokang upekha sahagatena cittasa vipulena mahagatena appamanena averena abhyapacena paritva viharati. And then we will go to page 6 at the top. That's the Frida. The chant, the song, the canon in Swiss German. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für uns alle und für die ganze Welt. Then we will start. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir, Frieda und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. Frieda wünsche mir und Frieda wünsche dir. Frieda für euch alle und für die ganze Welt. May there be peace for us and for the whole world. So with this, we finish this online session. And today, there are no group meetings. So we got enlightened. Electricity came back right now, 10 o'clock at night. So it will be there for some hours, 5 o'clock in the morning, usually it goes off again. Anyway, may we all have an enlightened, liberating, metaful practice. That's funny. Oh,
now we don't have to.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.